Good to see everyone and see those that are able to be out. If you want to, you might go ahead and turn your Bibles to Ecclesiastes chapter 1, and you might turn in your psalm books number 468. These will be the text for our lesson this morning. If you look in your psalm book at number 468, it's a song titled Happiness is the Lord. I don't know if y'all know this song here or not. I don't think it's been sung here since I've been here, and maybe we need to learn it because it's a very beautiful song, especially the words that are therein. And that's what we're going to look at this morning, are the words that are found in that song. And as I said, that's the text of our lesson this morning. It's a song that really, and when you look at all the songs, many of the songs that Mr. Ira Stanhill wrote, they are really looking at the joy that there is in being a child of God. And it's titled Happiness is the Lord. And he wrote another song that is not found in these song books called Mansions Over the Hilltop. And I'm sure many know that song from the old Sacred Selection song book. It's another one of the favorite songs of mine. And that's I kind of had a beef with Brother R.J. Stevens for not putting that song in here when he did this song book. But it's hard to include everything, I would imagine. But as we look at these things, we want to look at what true happiness is and that it can only be found in the Lord. And let's begin by looking in Ecclesiastes chapter 1. In Ecclesiastes chapter 1, we want to begin reading there in verse 12. And here we have, of course, the wise man Solomon. He's writing, and it seems, towards the end of his life and looking back on all the things that he has done. And he's going to speak of these things here in these verses. He says, I, the preacher, having been king over Israel and Jerusalem, and I set my mind to seek and explore by wisdom concerning all that has been done under heaven. It is a grievous task that which God has given to the sons of men to be afflicted with. I have seen all the works which have been done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and striving after wind. What is crooked cannot be straightened, and what is lacking cannot be counted. I said to myself, behold, I have magnified and increased wisdom more than all who were over Jerusalem before me. In my mind has observed a wealth of wisdom and knowledge. And I set my mind to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. I realize that this also is striving after wind. Because in much wisdom there is much grief, and increasing knowledge results in increasing pain. I said to myself, come now, I will test you with pleasure, so enjoy yourself. And behold, it too was futility. I said of laughter, it is madness and a pleasure. What does it accomplish? I explored with my mind how to stimulate my body with wine while my mind was guiding me wisely, and how to take hold of folly until I could see what good there is for the sons of men to do under heaven the few years of their lives. I enlarged my works. I built houses for myself. I planted vineyards for myself. I made gardens and parks for myself, and I planted in them all kinds of fruit trees. I made ponds of water for myself, from which to irrigate a forest of growing trees. I bought male and female slaves, and I had homeborn slaves, and I also possessed flocks and herds larger than all who preceded me in Jerusalem. Also, I collected for myself silver and gold, and the treasure of kings and provinces. I provided for myself male and female singers, and the pleasures of men, many concubines. Then I became great and increased more than all who preceded me in Jerusalem. My wisdom also stood by me. All that my eyes desired, I did not refuse them. I did not withhold my heart from any pleasure, for my heart was pleased because of all my labor. And this was my reward for all my labor. Thus I considered all my activities which my hands had done and the labor which I had exerted. And behold, all was vanity and striving after the wind, and there was no profit under the sun. In a study of Solomon's life, and we can look in Ecclesiastes and Song of Solomon and in many of the Proverbs that he wrote there and gathered together, we can see a lot of the wisdom of Solomon. And folks, he's not bragging in what he says here. He was the smartest. He was the richest. He was the greatest of all the kings that had ever ruled over the nation of Israel. Even if you include kings that came after him in the divided kingdom, he was the greatest. And he had wisdom that was given to him by God, and he sought after everything that there was to seek after. He wanted to make sure that he had experienced everything this world had to offer, and he tried to fulfill every desire of his heart. And look at the attitude that he had in all of these things, and everything he went towards, and everything he did is all vanity and striving after the wind. As we get further and read and look at his life, and the book of Ecclesiastes is going back through his life and talking about the great palaces that he built and his wives and all the things that he brought together and the menagerie of animals that were brought into his courts and the amount of money that he had. And in all these things, time and time and time and time again, he says, it's just vanity. It's just striving after the wind. And I can imagine living a life like Solomon lived and seeking after all the things that Solomon sought after and then getting to the end of your life, you're old and you're looking back and you're going, well, that was a big waste of time. Everything I've ever done has been really for naught. All the studying that I did, it didn't get me anything that I really needed. It was all just vanity and striving after the wind. And that's why he says there in the last part of that book in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, there in verses 13 and 14, he says, the conclusion, when all has been heard, is fear God and keep His commandments, because this applies to every person. For God will bring every act to judgment, everything which is hidden, whether it is good or evil. And so after having gone and done everything that the world set out as this is fun, this is good, this is enjoyable, he said, all these things are for nothing. The important thing is fearing God and keeping His commandments. If this world were all that there is, if when we die that were it, then our lives, no matter how successful, would still be in vain. We may find the cure for cancer. We may find the cure to all of the diseases that mankind has ever come across. But if there's nothing on the other side, then it's all been for nothing. It's just extended the misery that there is in our lives. However, we know that our lives are not end when we reach death. There's something waiting for us that can fill our lives with joy, that can help us see reason behind our labors here upon this earth. And so that's why I want to look at this song. When we look at this song, number 468, we can see that there's true happiness to be found in the Lord. And like I said, with his song, Mansions Over the Hilltop, He's always looking to that which is on the other side, looking at the joy that can be found, and that no matter how dark and difficult life might be, there's something even greater. Mr. Stanfield was a very accomplished songwriter. He has written over 600 songs total. And the first one he wrote was when he was only 17 years old. And when we look at some of these songs that he wrote, we can see that there's great wisdom in the years that he had, and that he looked to the Lord for happiness. And when we look at the thoughts in this song, it really brings a lot of insight into how a Christian should feel in his relationship to the Lord. That it's not some sorrowful thing, but in all things there's joy in the Lord. And so that's what we want to look at in our lesson this morning and possibly on into this evening. And the first thing we want to note is the first line there, and it says, happiness is to know the Savior. Can you imagine living a life without the knowledge of Jesus Christ? I mean, most of us that are present here, we've known of Jesus pretty much our entire life. In one form or the other, many of us perhaps were raised in congregations that taught about Jesus Christ from the very earliest of ages. But can you imagine going through your life never knowing that there's salvation? Can you imagine going through your life never knowing that there's something there that can remove all of the sorrow in your life? I can't think really of anything more dreadful than to lose that knowledge that we have of Jesus Christ. To lose the knowledge of knowing that sin separates us from God and not knowing that there's a way to bring us back to the Lord. However, we can see that by knowing Jesus, by knowing His life, by knowing the sacrifice that He made, it brings true joy into our lives. You know, I talk about this a lot in my lessons because it seems that we, and I'm saying we, folks, we as Christians oftentimes are very depressed and sorrowful and a bunch of sad sacks a lot of times. You know, we look at the world and we go through the world and people don't see joy in us. And here's why, because we don't really know the Savior. We don't really know the Lord. We even though we've been told these things, we don't take it into account. We allow these things to leave our minds. I mean, going back to our lesson this morning, when we got into chapter 10, you know, they'd just been told and all the things that they were doing, Nadab and Abihu just willingly forgot. And went and offered strange fire. And they saw immediate punishment. And when we willingly put the Savior away, then our lives become horrible, meaningless portions of this world. And there's no point. And we continue to allow ourselves to get down. Paul, in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12, it's interesting. As he writes this, he says, For this reason I also suffer these things, but I'm not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that He's able to guard what I have entrusted to Him until that day. Think for just a moment on the things that Paul suffered. And we've gone through these things numerous times, and when we look at these things, I don't think we really comprehend exactly the life of the Apostle Paul. As I've mentioned time and time again, he knew what he was facing. He knew what lay ahead of him. And he says, I suffer these things because I know Jesus Christ. I know who I've placed my faith in, and I know that He is faithful. He's just. He will keep that which I have committed to Him against that day. Paul had committed his soul to the Lord. And he knew that this physical body could endure anything that the world was going to throw at it because he knew there was something better. As Mr. Stanfield writes in his other song, I've got a mansion just over the hilltop. And that's the way Paul was. I've got something better that's laid up for me. I'm ready to die if that's what it takes, because that means I'm that much closer to receiving that great and wonderful reward. And so true happiness. And you don't see a lot of sorrow in Paul's writings, do you? You see him constantly saying, I'm ready. I've fought the good fight. I've kept the faith. I've finished the course. Now there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness. I'm ready to suffer these things, and I'm not ashamed to suffer them because I know whom I have believed. True happiness comes from knowing the Savior. And knowing the Savior will bring about us living a life that is within His favor. That's what we see next in this song. Happiness is to know the Savior, living a life within His favor. Solomon spoke of having fear of the Lord. And we've got to understand that being outside of the doctrine of God, outside of the doctrines of Christ, is to be a fearful thing, but many in the world are not afraid of it because they don't know Jesus. Now, they claim they do, but he said, if you know me, you will what? You will keep my commandments. And so they say they know Jesus, but they don't really because they don't keep the things that He has commanded. And so being outside of His doctrine is a fearful thing, but the reverse is true, that living within His favor brings true joy into our lives. It helps us to have a joyous life because we know that at the end, that after everything that we've done, after all the sorrow that this world has tried to put on us, we know it's all led to that ultimate joy. That joy that cannot be taken away. And it saddens me to look at Christians who walk around in such a sad, depressed state. And you know, I look in my own life sometimes and I ask myself, why are you so sad? Why are we? Because we know, perhaps deep down, that we're not right with the Lord. And we know that we're losing out on this, but it's really easy to get it back, to live within His favor. And, you know, that's what we need to be doing. How do we live within His favor? How do we do the things that He wants us to do? And we can do this by studying His Word and obeying the things that are taught therein. Solomon's father, David, wrote many of the Psalms. And when you look at the Psalms, we've noted this in previous lessons. When you look at the Psalms, he talks over and over again about the delight that he has in the law of the Lord. And in Psalm 119 there, in verse 104, he says, from your precepts I get understanding. And he goes on to say, therefore I hate every false way. He finds joy in the learning that comes from the Word of God. He goes on in verse 105, he says, your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Your Word gives me guidance in my life. Your Word tells me what I need to do to be found favorable in His sight. Jesus in Matthew chapter 5, there in verse 6 said, Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. I'm going to talk funny now because I just bit my lip. I guess I shouldn't have been talking about hungering and thirsting and not having eaten breakfast. But he's talking about those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, they will be filled. They will be satisfied. In Romans chapter 10, verse 17, we read that faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so by studying His Word, it gives us the guidance that we need. It guides us in our path, and we know that at the end of that path is salvation. Now, let's say that you were dropped off in the middle of a wilderness area. Let's say I like to watch that show Survival Man. And they drop him off in the middle of somewhere, and he has to stay there for like 3 or 4 days and find his way to the point where they're going to come and pick him up. Salvation is there at that point. Now, he's fortunate in that he's also got a little radio, and if things go too far, he can call him and then come in and extract him and if it's necessary. And it's amazing what he's willing to go through. I would have done picked up the radio many times when he was in the wilderness and getting bit by ants and everything. I'd be like, come get me right now. But he fends them off, and he... But he's always looking. You watch it and you see he's, just one more day. I've just got to get through one more day and then I get to get out of here. And I can just picture him afterwards. He's going, he's staying in the best hotel there is in the world because he wants all the comforts that he's been without. And isn't that the way it should be with us as Christians? Isn't that really the way that it was with the Apostle Paul? When he was like, I'm not afraid to face the things that I have to face. If I have to face death, that's great because I'm even closer to my eternal home. And studying His Word tells us of these things. In Romans chapter 10, you go back to verse 13, he says, for whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on Him in whom they have not believed? How will they believe in Him whom they have not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher? And how will they preach unless they are sent? You see the progression here that we study from the Word of God. We're taught of the Word of God, and it brings us joy because it brings us salvation. In 1 John chapter 3, there in verse 22, it says, and whatever we ask, we receive from Him, but because we keep His commandments and do the things that are pleasing in His sight. This is His commandment, that we believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as He commanded us. The one who keeps His commandments abides in Him, and He in him. A lot of people go and they just want to look at this. Okay, salvation is coming through believing in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ. But here we can see John is saying, not only believing in Him, not only reading of His Word and believing in Christ, but actually doing the things that He's commanded. Believing in Christ and obeying the commandments that are found therein, that is what keeps us within His favor. And that's where we can find happiness in the Lord. In Jeremiah chapter 15, there in verse 16, Jeremiah says about the words, he says, your words were found, and I ate them. And your words became for me a joy and the delight of my heart. For I have been called by your name, O Lord, God of hosts. How many of us are really dwelling upon the things that God has set forth for us in His Word? How many of us really have it living within our hearts? There's another song. And I know you're probably getting tired of all these songs, but that's what they're there for. And there's within my heart a melody. You see, the idea is Jesus, blessed Jesus, is there in everything. And these songs are written and these songs are given so that we can keep Jesus in our mind. My sister and I have a curse. My wife calls it a curse that she has to live near this curse. Any phrase pops up a song in my mind or in my sister's mind, and a lot of times those songs begin to just blurt out and she gets tired of hearing them. But that's the way it should be in our spiritual lives. When we're going through difficult times, we should be thinking, Jesus, blessed Jesus. I've got a mansion just over the hilltop. Here we are, but straying pilgrims. Here our path seems oft and dim. But to us, we're journeying on, and we sing this wayside hymn, yonder over the rolling river. That's the idea of waiting for that which is on the other side. Looking towards that. And that only comes by having His Word really dwelling within us. And as we see in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16, by letting the Word of Christ richly dwell within us, we are teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. His Word brings joy. That's why David was able to write all those beautiful psalms, because he found joy in the Word of God. It gave him direction. And he was able to live within His favor. And as the song goes on, he says, having a change in my behavior. You see, happiness comes through knowing the Savior, living a life within His favor, and having a change in our behavior. You see, not only knowing what God desires of us and doing it, but actually, really changing our life. Unfortunately, it seems that many in the church today really fail to have a proper understanding of repentance. It seems that many in the religious world at large and even in the church, they have the terms confession and repentance confused. They think repentance is coming forward and confessing sin in your life. I repent of this sin and therefore, I've done this and I've done that. And what we need to understand is that while repentance does include confession of sin, it really is so much more than that. You see, true repentance is not only saying, I have sinned, but making a change in that. Making a difference, a complete and total turn in our life. Can an alcoholic come forward and confess of sin, of the sin of alcoholism in his life, and then go out and continue to drink? Could a thief come in and go, I repent of stealing, and then go out and pick whatever you can out of the cars in the parking lot? Would that be true repentance? You see, that's the things that we need to understand. These things do not bring true happiness. Continuing on in the path of sin just continues to bring more and more sorrow in our life. But true joy can be found through turning away. True repentance means turning away from the sinful life that you once lived. That's making a change in our behavior. That's, we're no longer living in this way, we're living in this way. And going back to the Apostle Paul, you can really see that in his life, can't you? I mean, you go back before the road to Damascus, you go back there and he's in Jerusalem, just right before he begins the journey, he's in Jerusalem getting papers from the high priest, from the Sanhedrin court, so that he could go to Damascus and bring those who claim to be Christians to judgment. He can bring them, cast them into prison, and he's going to cast his votes for their death if they refuse to deny Jesus is the Messiah. That's his life. That's the devotion that he's had. You go all the way back to Stephen, and we see there in Acts chapter 7 and chapter 6, we see that even with Stephen, Paul is there as Saul of Tarsus, and his sole devotion is to destroying the Lord's church. And then there on the road to Damascus, bright light shows. Jesus speaks to him. And we see instantly a change in his behavior. From being the one who's going trying to destroy the church, he spends 3 days there fasting and praying for forgiveness, trying to find the direction, waiting for the one to come and tell him what he must do to be saved. When he's told, he does it. And immediately, instead of persecuting the church, he does all that he can to help the church to prosper. That's true repentance. That's truly turning away. And, you know, you look, and he talks about, you know, he was a Hebrew of Hebrews and of the tribe of Benjamin and all these things, and on the fast track, taught at the feet of Gamaliel and just able to have all these things that Jews wanted. And you look at how he turned his back on all of that. And the ones that used to would have been working with him were then chasing after him. You see, he was willing to give up everything. And that's why Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10, verse 37, he who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. We looked in our Bible lesson this morning, just getting into chapter 10 of the book of Leviticus, and with Nadab and Abihu, and there Aaron is serving the Lord. And Moses said, don't you cry. Don't sorrow for them. Don't you leave this tabernacle. You continue on doing what the Lord has set for you to do. Your brethren will weep and mourn for these two that were lost because they did not keep that which was holy. But you've got a responsibility. And as I said this morning, I can't think of anything more difficult than not having the moment to mourn for the loss of my children. Even if it was a loss that they brought upon themselves, I still can't imagine anything more difficult. But you see, here's the thing. Jesus said that we've got to turn away from the cares and concerns of this world and our focus is just solely upon Jesus. And being willing to give up everything, even our family. In Matthew chapter 19, there in verse 29, he says further, everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or farms for my name's sake will receive many times as much and will inherit eternal life. You see, not that we find joy in having to leave our family behind. And how many times have you talked to someone and they go, well, if I obey what you're telling me to do, then that means I'm condemning my family to the eternal fires of hell. No, they've condemned themselves. Your responsibility comes to your soul and being willing to give up these things, to be willing to change from the worldly behavior that you've had, to being changed from the worldly desires that are crammed down our throats. It truly brings about a change in our behavior, a different focus in our lives. Lord willing, we'll look at the rest of this evening, but let's think about these things for just a moment. And as we look at this song, we can see that, as he says there in the next section, happiness is the Lord. Happiness comes from serving Jesus, knowing our Savior, knowing that there was one, as we sing, who was willing to die in my stead, that a soul so unworthy might live. He was willing to go and to face that horrible death on the cross so that we don't have to face the horrible eternal destruction. He was willing to go and to suffer all the shame, all the pain, so we don't have to. So that even in whatever we suffer, we can look and we can see, I've got a mansion just over the hilltop. Here we are, but straying pilgrims. In this dark and dreary path that we walk down, there's something better on the other side. When we think of these songs and when we sing these songs, let's really think about the things that are being sung. And number 269 has been chosen. And look there at what it says. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. You see, happiness is to know the Savior. Happiness is to know that His blood is there to wash away our sins. Happiness is to know that He was willing to face that. For my parting, this I see, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my cleansing, this my plea, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing else can for sin atone, not of good that I have done. We can't get in on our own merits. We can't offer up any sacrifice that is pleasing in the sight of God. Only the blood of Jesus. And that's a joyful thing. To know that Jesus is our Savior. Are you here this morning and have you obeyed the gospel? If not, then everything in your life is, as Solomon said, just vanity, striving after the wind. You can become as successful in this world as you can. You can make Donald Trump look poor. You can make everybody in this world just look like nothing. You can be like Solomon and have all the wisdom this world has to give. And at the end of your life, if you don't know Jesus, if you haven't obeyed His will, then it's nothing more than vanity, striving after the wind. But if you know Jesus, then you're going to do His will. You're going to live your life within His favor, and it's going to bring about a change in your behavior. Have you changed your behavior for the Lord? If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, come forward, repent of the sins that are in your life, confess that belief, and be buried in baptism, arising up a new creature. We're going to talk about that some this evening, being that new creature, that new creation. Make your life right with God today. Bring true joy into your life. Nothing else can bring joy, not true joy, into your life. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. If you're here and you've obeyed the gospel, but you've not remained faithful, you found that your life is filled with sorrow, then perhaps you've forgotten about the blood of Jesus. Perhaps you've forgotten about the sacrifice that He's made. Perhaps you're not focused on the things that you should be focused on. Whatever your situation might be, make your life right with God. Find joy today as we stand and as we sing.